The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Welcome to Blakey's Booth Room, the number one Cardiff City podcast. Brought to you by Wales Online.
Hello and welcome to Blakey's Boot Room, the Cardiff City podcast in association with Giovanni's Restaurant. I'm your host, Glenn Williams, and I'm joined, as ever, by Nathan Blake and Paul Abandonato. Afternoon, gents.
Good afternoon. I'm good.
Hello.
Hello all.
Obviously, a lot to talk about in this show. We've had two games since we last did a pod, and we've got, obviously, West Brom coming up this weekend. So, first of all, I guess it only makes sense to start off with that Hull game on the weekend.
Yeah.
A 2-2 draw away at Hull.
That was close, wasn't it? No prediction.
Yeah, what did you say? I haven't jotted it down.
3-2.
Oof.
And you were all looking at me like I was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that a good result the way? Or?
I think it is, yeah. I think especially being 2-1 down in the last, you know, couple of minutes to get, you know, to go right at the other end. Danny Ward, brave as well. Ward's goal, by the way. Could have got smashed coming back off injury. And it was brave because it was like, it could have got done on his ankle quite easily. But no, put himself in there. You know, you have to say it was shocking defending by them. But
yeah, probably, you know, one, wouldn't it?
It's for Danny to take advantage of, and he absolutely did. And I thought it was great. My disappointment came with the goals we conceded, really. You know, I think if you look at, I think the first goal was a free kick. Yeah, and I've looked at this free kick like probably 15 times over, right? Because I don't want to say Smithies was at fault, but when a keeper gets a hand to it, you have to then think, why didn't he get there? The reason for me, he never anticipates as a right foot free kick. It's the boy, because they've got two lads. One right foot, one left foot.
Yeah.
And the natural angle was for a left footer. So he never anticipated the lad is going to try and do him on his near post. Great free kick, you have to say. Oh, good free kick. You can see Smithies, he's trying to see the ball. He's too far over to his right, I would say. Maybe by a yard, maybe yard and a half. And because he's not anticipating the right foot taker, he's expecting to run over it, I think. He takes the free kick and Alex doesn't move until the ball is past the wall. But the telltale sign is Alex has to take two strides and then dives, which tells you how far away he was from it. Because the ball didn't like shave the post. It was probably a foot inside the post or half a foot inside. So he got a hand to it just behind the line or on the line, but he couldn't get there. And I just thought, you know, he'd be disappointed with that. And I think if you looked at the players' reactions as well, they were a bit disappointed with it because they thought he shouldn't have got beat there. And I would agree. And, you know, but it happens. Things happen. You know, you just have to move on. Then the other goal, I'm trying to think of the second goal now. I can't really remember at the moment, but I'll come back to it. But yeah, I thought Alex could have done a bit better for that free kick for sure.
Warnock said it was the most disappointing equaliser he's ever had in his career, I think.
Yeah, because it would have felt like a loss, I would have. No. It felt like a point, but they'll probably think they should have got all three, I think. I'm trying to memorise their second goal now, and it'll come to me, but there was faults there as well. I think it might have been the lad at the near post.
But by all accounts, it was a improved performance from what I gleaned.
Yeah, and like we keep saying, the wheels are moving forward, the chains are moving. I know my colleague here is probably less optimistic, let's just say, than myself, because I'm, you know, I don't, I say, I accept the fact that we are where we are with who we are, and it's not going to change. So, you know, if you start wanting it to change and willing it to change, it's not going to happen. So I just cut that side off. I just say, we are where we are. I know what we're getting. We've been successful doing it once. Whether we'll be successful a second time, I don't know. This team doesn't seem to have the same dynamic, you know, prowess about them as the team that won promotion a couple of years ago. And there was just more of a verve around them last time when they won promotion.
Points seem a lot harder to come by this time.
Well, I think the league is as tricky, if not trickier. And I think those six or seven teams at the top, you know, they're going to be hard to overcome. You know, they're going to have to go on real bad runs to drop out of those sorts of positions. I mean, they're not decided yet, nowhere near. You know, one of our colleagues here is cartwheeling because our noisy neighbours are at the top of the table. But like I say, there's, what, 36 games to go? So, you know, long, long, long way yet. But for City to do what they're doing and getting a result, again, just pick up a point. You know, you go with a point, you come away with a point, you're happy. So, you know, good result. And but judging by the highlights, probably could have won the game.
And another positive, Robert Glatzel scoring his first goal in open play.
Yeah, that was one of the things I wanted to say. Between the 6-yard box, well, between the sticks.
Proper striker's goal.
Proper striker's goal. That's, you know, that's been crying for him to do it. You know, don't worry about the workout. Get your main focus for the next 2 months, 3 months is just goal getting. You know, goal getting, goal get. Just say that, I'm going to get goals. Put that pressure on yourself. But he's got the ability to do it. But good move as well. Good early ball in, good arrival on time by Glatzel, and just slid in, couldn't miss. So, yeah, some good positives.
Yeah, it's important, I guess, that Glatzel and Ward scored, so that's the two strikers both scoring them, which has been difficult to come by so far this season. How important is it that these strikers get on a bit of a roll?
It's massive, Glenn. You know, they've got to... City got to find... When they went up, they weren't prolific scorers. They weren't even semi-prolific scorers. You know, their top scorer was just got the double figures, I think. So, you know, but we've said on the podcast from the start of the season what City need now in this league. Because I don't think, like I just said, they've got what they had 2 years ago. I think that team is better than this team, in my opinion. Right? But what you've got Glatzel, new lad, striker, you've got to be looking for him to get 18 to 25 goals. And I think if he can do that, those 1-0 when the striker pops up and nicks one away from home, or you're under pressure at home for 70, 80 minutes, because let's be fair, we don't keep the ball, so we are going to be under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
If he can pop up and nick you that one goal, you know, that's what you need, is someone who's going to get you at least 18 goals, I think. It's imperative for City this year.
The soundbite seems to be a point away from home in the Championship is always good, and it's always difficult to get a win away from home. But behind the scenes, do you think, how much of a concern is it that they've not won away from home yet this season?
Well, it'd be a concern to a team that's going for the Championship,
mm-hmm.
which is what Cardiff are. You know, they are going for the league. Make no bones about it. Whether, like, myself, you think the team won promotion 2 years ago is better than this team. We spent more money this time round, but for me, if you give me a choice, I take the other team. You know, start of the season, Mendes, Lang, Doyle, you know, Bamba. You know, they were a really good team. So who knows, mate? I'm kind of. We are where we are. It is what it is. Just don't focus too much on the fact that you haven't won away. And, you know, playing how you're playing. The most important thing is winning your home games, right? To keep in with the pack. Got to keep in with the pack. right? I don't care if you're in with a pack and you're 12th, but 4 points off six in January. Because I can tell you from experience, I've been there and we end up winning the league. So, you know, as long as you're in the pack, in and around it, like I said, just can't let that gap develop too much to 9-10 points. I think that's when you'll have a real problem after Christmas. So, not imperative, but the way games we've had and the kind of way games you want to be picking up the 3 points as well, you know, because although we always do well at Leeds and places like that, going to Leeds, going to Fulham, you know, these places, it's going to be difficult.
And on that note, that's the end of part one of Blakey's Boot Room. In part two, we'll be discussing the 3-0 win over QPR. Welcome back to part two of Blakey's Boot Room, where we will be discussing the 3-0 win over QPR. Paul, I'd like to get your thoughts on that one first.
Nice to get a word into this podcast. Blakey, total show so far. I actually disagree with Nathan a bit about Hull being a good result. I'm not convinced it was. I think that's the sort of game Cardiff got to be looking to win. But it was made a better result on the back of the thumping win over QPR, to be fair. So, you know, if you do win your home games, Blakey said, and you pick up points away, you're remaining in the pack that way. And I was looking at it, despite what's been an indifferent start to the season at best for Cardiff, they're 5 points off the top, Blakey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may be down in 10th place, I think it is now. I think that might be the highest this season.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they're only five off the top, which is nothing in the Championship with another 30-plus games.
I think it's those top six or seven. They are good teams.
Yeah.
Very good teams.
So, I don't know how Cardiff won that game 3-0.
Yeah.
I was in a different part of the ground to Blakey, and I texted him at 2-0 after about, what time was the third goal scored?
Oh, 70.
Okay, so I would have texted you what, about 60 minutes saying, yeah, how the heck are we 2-0 up in this game? I couldn't get my head around that.
Yeah.
Because I thought Cardiff were totally outplayed by QPR. They hit the woodwork twice. But I also then took a picture of the scoreboard when it said Bluebirds 3-0. And I can't remember when I last saw that, so I wanted a nice picture of it because it was a lovely picture to have. Obviously, I could Google this and think about it properly the previous season, but crikey, it's been a while since they were 3-0 ahead. It was a wonderful feeling. Suddenly, you could relax when that third goal went in. And obviously QPR were gone then. QPR, you know, looking at their players, they are the sort of side, I think, that, you know, when the heavy midwinter comes and everything, I can see them struggling quite a bit.
Yeah, a bit like, but lightweight. If you've got a few,
yeah, but I can see them on their day just outplaying a lot of teams. You know, they played some beautiful football, to be fair to them. But it was a big win for Cardiff that was really needed on the back of, as I say, an indifferent start. And I've got to say this, my spirits were lifted on the way to the game when my son told me the lineup. Tomlin was playing. I said, we will win this now 3-0. And I actually predicted it before the game. It will be a heavy win. I still don't know how they managed that because they were so outplayed. One of the reasons they did was because of Lee Tomlin, mm-hmm, right? Because he had the dynamic run that led to the free kick for the first set piece goal. And he also had the quick thought of mind to play the quick corner, which led to the second goal, which White scored, didn't he?
Clipped in.
I think the ball was meant for Bakuno, was behind White,
He put it into a good area.
Yeah. And then he was taken off after 60-odd minutes, and
he's upset by that.
I'm hesitating to say this. I didn't think he was best pleased with that decision.
He was upset.
Because I thought he sort of looked at the canton as if, why am I coming off? I'm the match winner in this team, which he is.
Do you know why we knew he was upset? I said to Glenn, he's not happy. Because the substitute was beginning to happen. He went towards, like, he's outside the and he was looking over to the right, like, yeah, it can't be me. It can't be me. Glenn said to me, it's always him.
It's always him.
But, you know, it was such a predictable substitution. So, Tomlin, was one of the fundamental reasons that Cardiff were 2-0 ahead in a game they were being totally outplayed.
I agree.
Totally outplayed. You know, and a great goal by Patterson for the third goal. But once that's gone in, it's clearly game over, and Cardiff played some decent football then. But I thought they were being stretched too easily. Other than Tomlin, you know, still reliant on set piece goals, which is what happened, which is a strength, not a weakness, by the way. But let's have more from open play. Fabulous win. Like Blakey says, they're staying in touch still. And I do think that when the deep midwinter does come, I do think there's more squad strength in this Cardiff team than a lot of teams in the Championship. And I do think the spine of Etheridge, and I'm saying Etheridge, not Smithies, of Etheridge, albeit Smithies played well against QPR, to be fair, put off a couple of excellent saves. Etheridge, Morrison, Pack, and I come back to him, and Glatzel, I hope, will be the kind of spine Cardiff need for the rest to play off. I think Pack...
huge.
Indifferent, but I can imagine Pack being a Nathan Blake sort of player through and through,
he's huge.
Right?
He's
you know,
huge.
A presence in there. He suddenly appears to win the headers and the blitz. And he keeps the ball more than most Cardiff players, which is a plus for me. I thought he had a little bit of an indifferent game, right? But I just looked at him and thought, do you know what? When the going gets tough, particularly away from home, this is the kind of dominant midfielder that Cardiff City have lacked for years and years. Well, not for years, but they've lacked for some time, yeah?
I thought he was man of the match yesterday.
Yeah.
I thought he was brilliant. I thought, like, I think what you have to do, because I watched him for about 5 or 6 minutes. I just watched him. I was obviously watching the game, but he was my main focus. So I'd say I was scouting him, right? And I'm telling you now, the two centre-backs, Morrison and Flint, he is a godsend for them because they don't get exposed. And even when they do, he's often the closest link to intercept, to disrupt. And sometimes when Morrison might go up for a throw-on, to take a long throw and leave that gap, but he'll just, if you watch him, he just slots in for that. Number five, well, three or four, they call it now, but that centre back position, and he calm, cool, nothing's too much. Seen him talk, seen him rant at a few people, passed the ball well, passed it easy, passed it long when he had to, but not a long ball, long pass. No, I just thought I thought he was so accomplished last night. I thought it was a brilliant performance by him. I thought Kuna next to him. And Tomlin ahead of them, I thought that is a great trio. I thought that little triangle there, I thought that worked really well. I thought that was the main reason why Cardiff won the game last night.
That to me has to be the way forward. And I know there's a lot of Joe Riles fans out there, but at the moment, that to me, you know, Tomlin has to play in that cam role, you know, the 10 role for me. I don't think he will, by the way. I don't think he'll be picked at West Brom, despite what I thought was a match-winning performance against QPR, but that's the way it is. The other thing I'd say, that I don't know if this should really impress me or not, right, but the other thing that did impress me about the team was the flare up near the end, which I had a fabulous view of, right? So Patterson tried to flip the ball, it was sort of went to touch, tried to quick throw and sort of was barged a little bit, and he lost his rag with the QPR player, and boom, all of a sudden, Sean Morrison appeared to defend his mate, Aidan Flint appeared to defend his mate, Lee Peltier, your mate Blakey, was there, not taking a backward step, and I just looked at it, and I thought, this is a team you don't mess with, you know, they are in this together, you know, and there was all sorts kicking off from the QPR players, and Peltier wasn't taking a backward step. As I say, Morrison was leading as the captain. And I'm not condoning a fracas in any way, shape or form. I'm not. Right? But these things happen in a football game.
Yeah.
And Cardiff are not going to be kowtowed. There are a lot of leaders in that team.
Well,
Peltier, Pack, Morrison,
it's Neil
Flint.
Warnock. What Neil
That's does, important in the it? Championship, isn't
it's
it,
It's important
Blakey?
In any league, I think, Paul. It's just important in football. Yeah. That you have players that, I mean, we could sit here now and probably name, off the top of my head, I could probably name 5 or 6 teams where I think, lightweight, you know, very lightweight. You could do with a bit of oomph in your team.
Yeah.
And what, you know, Neil, traditionally, every team, when I used to play against his teams like Sheffield United, okay, we beat them up at Wolves in the playoff final, but they're big, they're strong, they're physical, they like to go toe-to-toe. They'll have a ruck with you because attitude reflects leadership at the end of the day, and Neil is not someone who backs down to anybody, is he? Yeah. So, you know, that's just, for a Neil Warnock team, that's a given to me, yeah. Playing against them for years and, you know, watching him manage for years. That's always the way. I think that's the dilemma part of if you're going to go down the route of more possession-based football, then you're going to have to change personnel who are more comfortable in possession of the ball. And what, in my opinion, what Neil's scouting look at, what they're attracted to, first and foremost, is the physicality.
So the character of a player.
The physicality. No, because I played with some small players, you know, Colin Cameron at Wolves. He was 5'5", Scottish, mate. He was more like Bigby off Trainspotting. He would fight a dinosaur. He was crazy. So, you know, size is not necessarily anything to do with it. But, you know, if you're tough, you're tough. But what Neil Warnock's teams look for on scouts is big, physical. Because, you know, he didn't sign Flint by accident to play alongside Morrison. Where the goal came from last night, they're just atypical. You know, Peltz is, everyone knows he's horrible to play against. You know, you leave one on you. Bennett will leave one on you. You know, Pack, physical, big, strong. Bamba, you know, they're all physical. Then you've got Patterson coming on, big, physical, strong. You know, so. No, that's why I think, to digress a little, that's why I think winds Neil up about Murphy, is when he wants him to be a bit more, not, I don't mean kick people, I mean just be a bit more aggressive in the challenge and what have you, and don't let him push you off the ball and that. Sometimes he gets easily pushed around by people, right? And when you're that way inclined, where you'll kind of fight the bear sort of thing, and you see someone pushing one of your players around and he's not reacting to go up and start pushing back, you know, it's hard, you know what I mean? It riles you. So, you know, I understand the shape, the size, the height of the team, the strength of the team, and that's no surprise that they've got a one-in-all-in policy. I think most teams have that, but Cardiff are just a very big physical team, you know. They've got about 5 or 6 lads who are well over 6 foot, physical, know it, and play to your strength.
Speaking about big and physical, the first 2 goals come from set pieces. Please, Neil Warnock, greatly at the end of the game, that finally they managed to put together a few clinical set pieces. How did you view those?
The first one was, I thought, the ball in by Tomlin made the first one.
Because he did it a few minutes earlier, but Flint headed at the keeper, I think, and then tried it again.
Yeah, so it was like, but what they done against Hull, they done it so many times, and it's predictable, but it's hard to stop unless you can go man for man. You know, I thought last night, QPR, 2 centre halves, mate, you're 2 big lads, go and fight them, 2 big lads. But they didn't for some reason. Mm. So I thought the first goal was a typical Cardiff goal. You know, knock down, knock on. Win the first one, win the second one, you tend to score. We always say that. A second goal, I'm trying to think. Pack
set piece,
was,
straight off the
quick
training
set piece.
Yeah.
Again, Tomlin
that
at the heart
off
of it.
Training ground.
I thought that was very...
That was off the cuff.
That was very off the cuff, yeah. I would say.
There's no way that was off the training ground. The training ground is whipping in the air. Mm. That was Bakuna hanging out for the ball and Tomlin at the last minute spotting it and trying to find
White.
It. No, White actually got the ball, but I'm convinced it was meant for Bakuna.
Oh, okay, but the pass to White was meant.
For Bakuna is what I'm saying. Yeah, White came in. Yeah, coming to Bakuna on the edge, he would have just whacked it towards goal. As it was... think White might have mishit it a little bit, but it just ended up beautifully at Pack's feet, and it's 2-0.
No, yeah. I wouldn't say he missed it. I would say he put a good ball in. We were right behind it, weren't we?
It was a good pass, I thought.
I would say fizzed in to a good area where you can see a couple of blue shirts. One of you's bound to get on the end of it, and it was a simple tap in. I thought it was very just see it, do it, right? By Tomlin, and that's him though, isn't it? What he does.
And Cardiff don't do enough of that.
They're very structured. They are, even every throw in. Morrison comes up.
So it's nice to have the ball off the cuff.
It surprises people. Otherwise, people get set. But what I'm saying is, even when they get set, Neil's approach is, well, if they can't stop it, just do the set piece. Do you know what I mean? But it hasn't been working a lot this season, right? And, you know, so we're getting to the stage where you think, oh, just like I always say, just get it and throw it in quick, get it back and whip one in, or do something different. Do you know what I mean? Because it's becoming predictable, and teams are not necessarily winning the first one, but they'll put so many people in the box that they'll win the second. And, you know, but last night it worked well. So, you know, it's nice to see a bit of variety. Yeah.
And Callum Patterson's goal, Blakey, just how difficult a technique is that?
20 hit into the ground, you've got a chance. Don't get underneath it because it spins and goes over the bar. Hit into the ground, which he done. Listen, it's not Gareth Bale, Real Madrid, you know, Champions League final. It's a good finish. You know, it's a good finish. And credit to him, kept the ball down, done what you'd say. You better slightly miss hitting them and they'll go in. You catch them clean and sweet, they tend to just over the bar. So I thought it was a great finish, to be fair to him. And he had come off the bench. So, good impact he made last night. I thought everyone played a decent game last night. Even though QPR were good, I thought they weren't so good in the final third. Eze, the black lad with the locks, I thought he's a good player. But still thought, I would want you to break the lines more. You're very good at the ball, twisting, turning. You play a nice pass, but break the lines more. I thought they didn't really have a striker. I thought that was a big miss for them. We both liked...
Sai Samuel.
Samuel on the
Bennett
right.
Struggled with him, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. But again, last 20 minutes, he was...
I thought Bennett came back superbly.
Yeah, last 20 minutes. Right. I don't think he was of any really, sort of significance. Yeah. Second half, he wasn't really
major. I've rarely seen
major.
Bennett troubled as he was.
No, but first half, he gave him a lot of grief. But
I thought he came back really well.
Yeah, I thought he did as well. So, like I said, I just thought it was... Whilst QPR had a lot of the ball, I wasn't, like when you text me and you said to me, I wasn't surprised, because that's how we do. That's kind of us. You know what I mean? I've seen that a few times, even when we got promoted. You know, teams pop, 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 and then we end up 1-0. It's like, But I'm used to that now. It's, you know, if I would say, if I was speaking, like I've seen Gavin Ward yesterday, great to see him. He's at QPR now on the coaching staff, and we were just chatting about life, really. We didn't talk about the game. But he's probably gone home thinking the same thing. How did we lose that game? But I would say to him, if you don't physically match Cardiff and you don't take your opportunities, you'll lose. Because Cardiff will nick a goal. They will just keep throwing it, every throwing near the box, boom. Whoom, every corner, whoom, whoom, every set piece. Whoom. I said to you, didn't I? If I was for the first goal for Cardiff, I'd be annoyed at my man bringing down Tomlin in a dangerous position. Then I'd be annoyed at, right, we've worked on these two being picked up, and, you know, for those two, one to head it, one to score, they've probably done work all week to prevent that.
Yeah.
So, but. It's easy in training. When he's up against the man, it's a different thing.
28% possession, which I think is the lowest all season, and a 3-0 win, which is the biggest win all
season.
It's
what we do.
So quite a head scratcher there.
It's what we do. No, we've seen it before.
That sums up my text to Blakey during the game. How on earth are we winning this game?
Yeah, but we've seen that before. Have you not? If we went back over the records in the promotion season, you'd see that. I think if you went back over the Premier League season, the games we won, we probably had less possession than that. in every game. There may be one or two where we had 28, 30, 35% possession, but generally, we hover around the 30 to 38% possession. We're rarely into the 40s, and we could be in the 20s.
Well, I'm rather hoping that with Pack, Bakuna and Tomlin in the side, that possession ratio will change, Blakey.
Do you know why it won't, Paul? Because it was a time last night where we were 2-0 up, and they had put a lot of pressure on us. And I think even the fans at the Canton end, who were singing their heads off, were thinking, right, to relieve it now, keep the ball for a minute. And I said to you, look, we can't keep it. We can't keep it more than 4 or 5 passes. We can't. We don't. I think people think, oh, it just happens. But it doesn't. You have to work these things in check. Right, in this position, when we do gain it back, nice and solid, right, what happens? Right, he makes that run there. Right, you look the little pass inside him there. That should release you into that position. Or if we're down this side, that happens. You know, I don't think once we regain the ball back, we are just looking to get it to their goal as quickly as possible. We're not looking. And I think even, like I said, the fans were thinking, keep the ball just a minute. You know, you've just come under 5-6 minutes of severe pressure. Keep the ball for yourselves. Rest in possession of the ball. That's what I always say, right? Rest in possession of the ball. But it's not going to happen. So it's just, and then we go and score a third. Well,
nice touch at the end. Glenn, I want to mention, which was Neil Warnock being applauded by both sets of fans.
Yeah.
And applauding both sets of fans. That doesn't happen much in football. It certainly doesn't happen much with Neil Warnock.
No.
You know, he normally gets abuse from the opposition fans. I thought it was a lovely touch. Mm. Lovely touch. Roundly applauding them. They roundly applauded him. And then, of course, the usual loving from the Cardiff fans, which is understandable, particularly after a 3-0 win.
Mm-hmm.
So 7 games undefeated now then, and something of a roll, Blakey.
Yeah, yeah. It's like I say, it's typical, I think. I mean, you know, I think part of what I say in my opinion when I'm saying like I would move to the next stage is just the next stage. People take it personally, that's up to them, but I will just analyse what I see, right? I'll analyse what I see, and like I said to you, I don't get my hopes up for us to go and rest in possession of the ball, because I know we don't do it. And I don't get our hopes up for us to, you know, score a goal after 22 passes. It's not going to happen, right? So, you know, cut that part off, turn that switch off. And if it does happen for some reason, then it's a wow moment. But what you see last night, that is typical of us. That's a typical Cardiff City performance under Neil. So you win the game, everyone goes home happy. Like I said a couple of weeks ago, when you're winning, everything's sound. Yeah? It's the moment you stop winning and go on 6 or 7 games, because then the performance gets analysed, the possession gets analysed. Do you understand what I mean?
Mm.
And it looks a whole heap worse than 60% possession, you know, 14 shots on goal, 7 on target, lost the game 2-0. People can say, oh, well, I can see we should have. Where we are, you need to score, and we did, so all good.
Paul, Cardiff just sneaking under the radar a little bit, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I did say, we have said on the show before, the important thing is that Cardiff stay in touch and that this season could still go either way. It could be a charge towards the top 3 or 4, or it could be a Cardiff stay roughly where they are now, move up to 8th maybe type thing. But the fact that, you know, Neil, he said after the game, didn't he, Warnock, after the whole game, that sometimes you just got to have this base to work from, which was the unbeaten run of 6 games that you're talking about. But it made QPR a must-win game.
Mm.
And of course, having won that, changed the mindset. As I say, they're 5 points off top place, which is nothing. So it shows how congested it is, given that Cardiff are 10th. They've just got to hang in there, and then hope that that squad strength I mentioned earlier, the physical power, comes into its own as the conditions get tougher to play in as the season goes on. You know, a team like QPR will be, you know, really struggling in certain conditions. And the Warnock factor in terms of knowing this division better than anybody will all have a significant part to play, and that they can charge in the new year.
Because what we've seen last night, obviously Mendes is okay, but you would say, aside from Etheridge and Bamba, really, you know, that's probably the starting 11.
At home.
And you might chuck Rawls in there
instead
of Tomlin. Do you understand me? Not as the number 10, but in a different shape midfield. But, you know, I would say we're only two or three players off being full strength. So, you know, like I say, that's not going to alter much. One's a goalkeeper. One's a centre back. So, what we see now, I think it's... I'm not surprised by it. This is kind of a scruffy kind of, you know, win. You know, a lot of it, fans out and you get over the line and blah, 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 blah. But it's a different feeling to the promotion season, right?
But it's different combinations, isn't it?
So yeah, it's a different feeling, right? Yeah, that season, we knew there was something special happening from the get-go. Mendes Lang was like a revelation, wasn't he? He just like hit the ground, not running, he hit the ground with like, you know, power bleeding spikes on his feet. He was unbelievable. He was, but this season it's like a bit of a grind. Get the wheels churning forward, and last night now, as you said, now you gain a bit more momentum, a bit more confidence. And it's incredible what you look like. I don't think there's many people who were predicting Forest to be where they are,
yes,
Swansea to be where they are. But what happens is when you win games, builds momentum, builds belief, builds trust, builds everything, basically.
And this is the point I was, you know, I guess I was trying to make, that there's a whole new mindset. The moment Cardiff charge into that top six, there's a whole new mindset about it all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? While they're out of there, it's, you know, should be doing this, and this to get in there, if you like, and you know, play different style of football. But once they're in there, it's a different mindset. The fans are even more passionate behind the team. There's a sense of expectation, and the tactics work in a situation like that.
Of the six or seven teams at the top now, not all of them are going to stay there, right? I would say six teams, probably three will stay, four will hover around it, and two... I'll drop out. We've just got to be one of those teams that takes advantage of the teams who drop out of there going forward up until... And we try and get there before Christmas, but if not, no panic. Like I said, you can do it in January, February. When you start to get the March, that's when I always say last 10 games, if you're not in and around it, chances are, you know, you might get in there for a weekend, but, you know, chances are you fall back out. So it's a bit of a yo-yo. So... You know, just stay in touch and distance. That's the main thing, I think, at the moment. But for me, if we get in, it'll be fourth, fifth, sixth. I don't think we're top two this year. I think it's fourth, fifth, sixth. But like I said, I think we'll... You know, I think we're slightly better than where we are now in the league. I think we're like 7-8, top 10 team. But... what momentum gives you, what confidence gives you, what belief gives you. We can take you up the league, no problem.
Okay, well, that's the end of part two. In part three, we'll be having a little look ahead to West Brom and then some Ask Blakey and predictions. And welcome back to part three. So, West Brom away on the weekend. Do we think that's the toughest test yet for this Cardiff City side?
Yeah, West Brom, good team.
Mm.
Yeah, good front line as well. Good all round they are. Got a bit about them in midfield, strong at the back, good going forward from deep positions, from the back, can counter attack you and can keep the ball. So I would say it's probably our toughest test so far this season. You know, they're doing well. So real tricky game.
Coming up against Kenneth Zahor, maybe. He hasn't set the world alight since going to...
Oh, Paul's mate. Yeah.
Going to West Brom. Yeah. What do you think of his season so far up there?
To be honest with you, I don't focus on former players. I only focus on players that are Cardiff. I've seen him in the game the other day. I think it was against Leeds. They lost 1-0. He done well. Should have scored for me. Should have scored a couple. But, typical performance from Kenneth that we've seen at Cardiff. You know, you think to yourself, he's lacking aggression. And even the commentator said, oh, apparently when he gets angry, he's really, you know, I'm like, well, just play angry then. Do you know what I mean? You know, don't wait to get angry. Go into the game angry. But everyone's personality is different. But, I wouldn't be looking and if I'm Morrison or Flint, I wouldn't be worried by any stretch of imagination. I just think just physically dominate him. And I think that's what they'll try to do, whether it works or not. Because we know Kenneth can run over the top and plant one in the top corner. So you just got to beat him up for 90 minutes.
Paul, do you think Kenneth Zahor is the type of player that can trouble this Cardiff City defence?
Trouble any defence on his day, but I've no idea what he's doing this season. I've not even followed what he's done since he's left Cardiff.
I think he scored two penalties, I think.
He didn't even take penalties for Cardiff.
So. Yeah, I seen him take one penalty. It was about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago.
I think, you know, whether Zahor's part of the first 11 or not, I think West Brom are a seriously good team at this level and are probably going to be in the top three come the end of the season. Whether they're in the top two or not, I'm not sure, but they'll be one of the teams that you have to finish above if you're going to get automatic promotion.
Having said that, then, would you say it would be a big statement then if Cardiff go up there and get a result on Saturday?
What do you mean by a result?
A win.
Oh, that would be massive. That would be the biggest win of the season.
Yeah, that'd be like going when they went to Wolves in the Championship last
that'd
time.
That'd be massive if Cardiff managed to do that.
Something that could ignite something, do you think?
That doesn't build belief and confidence. That just gives you it in abundance.
Yeah, and you do it going into the international break, and so there's a, you know, there's a real belief in those two weeks. While
training ground's better, day to day, everyone's happier.
That'd be huge if Cardiff managed to win this game. And there are going to be 2,000 Cardiff fans going there. The atmosphere at the Hawthorns is going to be rip-roaring. It'll be a phenomenal occasion. I'm going. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So, Blakey, how have you viewed this little period in between the last international break and this international break? Two wins, two draws.
Better.
Starting to look more like their old, their old selves, very old selves.
They're different for me. Mm. They play us the same, very similar way. But they're different. Personnel's different, so they're different. I think Pat could be in a team that plays 100 passes a goal, or he could be in a team that's more direct. I think he's a really accomplished player. I think Bakuna's, you know, found his position in that central midfield. So, you know, you've got to say, two wins, two draws. People are happy, fans are happy, going in the right direction. Change moving forward, it's decent. I don't I keep repeating I don't look for us to be playing beautiful football. You know, I'd like it, but it's not going to happen. So I don't.
Like you said in one of these, the first podcasts of the season, that a sounder judgment could be made of Cardiff after 10 games. We are now 10 games in. What is your very short assessment?
I would say I wasn't surprised wholly by the start. Disappointed, but not really surprised. And where we find ourselves is about right, I would say. Probably one or two games have got away, but then there's one or two games where I think we've been fortunate in. So we're kind of evened out. I would say, if you're looking as a promotion team, as I just said, I think we can get into that fourth, fifth, sixth spot. if we have a really, really good run. But then you're talking wins away from home and wins at home, which is no mean feat, right? As we've seen this season. But if not, I think, yeah, 7, 8, 9, you know, just hover around there. We're 10th. And yeah, I'd say that's about where we should be at this moment in time. The good thing is you are in a position where your next game, you're not thinking, oh, come on, you've got to get going. We've got to, you know, we're going. It's just now building momentum and pace and belief. And, you know, after the international break, can you get back on it? A couple of wins. And by November, you're in a position where, you know, you're at it. You know what I mean? Because, like, I keep going back to the last summer of the championship, from day one, we were at it, you know? And it's different personnel. Takes time to bed. The beauty of the last time, people bedding straight away. It's not happening, doesn't always happen, but we are going in the right direction. So for me, 10th is about right, yeah.
Paul, would you agree with that assessment?
No, I think they need to do better. I think they're capable of doing better. And where I can agree with Blake is they've got these new partnerships, these new players, and so it does take time to bed in. I could moan about the pack injury, but every team gets injuries. It's been an indifferent start. But what I would say is this, that you know there is better to come, and if you've won 3-0 in a game when you've been largely outplayed for great periods of that game, crikey, let's treat that as a positive sign rather than a negative.
You know, I treat that as a norm, though. No, I do. I look at our possession stats and I smile, but I'm never surprised, because if you can tell me in the last 3 seasons Neil's been here, if you can tell me 3 games where we've had more possession in the opposition, I say okay, but bet you couldn't tell me 5 or 6. It's just the way it is, you know what I mean? I just think we're not as dynamic. That is what I think. And I think that is why, at the moment, we're finding it more difficult to get going. But we're going. That's the good thing about it.
Okay, well, let's move on to some Ask Blakey. There's a lot of questions in this week, so want to get going on it. Peter Tromans, I hope that's how you pronounce.
All right, Pierre.
He says, one for Blakey, are we really that physical to play against? Or is it just a case of the opposition not being able to cope with the size of Morrison, Flint, Bamber, etc. when he comes back in? Or are the opposition distracted from a lack of their own capabilities?
I think we are a physical team. And what happens is when a manager of the opposition keeps going on, now you can't let him beat you and you can't let... He'll be prone and in and... Be, you know, players go in and then you get into the moment and you're thinking, oh my God, where is he? Oh, I got it. So, yeah, we are that physical. I don't think our set pieces have been as prominent as they could be. But if you look at last night, then you've got to say, a big thing was Tomlin's delivery and speed of thought for last night's win. So, you know, you've got to say, what I'd like to see with Tomlin is him becoming a 90-minute player, or coming off last 5 minutes because he's, you know, he's blown a bit of a gasket. But I think, you know, not build a team around him sort of thing, but make him the main focal point of your attack then, definitely.
100%.
And don't worry too much. Like what we noticed last night, he worked incredibly hard.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So he has stepped up that side of his game. So, and that shows a great willingness to want to be part of the team and want to be the main man. You know, it's different. It's different with Sergio Aguero, but you know, Pep got him to a point where if you've got to work up front, and you know, Tomlin's a luxury player, but the luxury players I'm not expecting you to do the same work as Joe Riles does. I'm not expecting that. But at the same time, I'm not expecting you to come in with like running 6 or 7K in a game. You're gonna those boys run 13, 14K. You're gonna have to be running like 10, 11. You know what I mean? And then give me the magic at the end of it. You know, I think like last night he went some way to doing that.
Okay, we got Miguel Da Silva.
Miguel.
He says, what are your thoughts on playing Patterson at right back over Peltz?
Nah, not for me.
No?
Nah, Peltz. I've always said, you know, I really like Peltz. He's, and what he does, he puts a bit of fear in the opposition as well. Opposition winger.
Mm.
Opposition forward. Because people know he's got a reputation, he'll leave time on you. So, no, not for me. I think Patterson, I'd actually say he's being utilised probably how I would utilise him right now. You know, I don't think he's going to play in front of Tomlin in that 10 position, maybe away from home, but that's where I say that's where you might struggle. That's where the confidence might take a knock. If you go away from home and you haven't got that creativity and you lose the game, players start to think, well, if he was playing, we probably would have got an extra 2 or 3 chances. And that's where the mind starts to play tricks for you. So it's a difficult one.
We've got Hugh.
Hi, Hewith.
He's asked a couple of questions, but I'll pick one out. He says, what's wrong with Murphy at the moment? Do you think there's anything wrong with him?
I don't think there's anything wrong with him. I think he might have had in his head, he might have gone to the Premier League this year after last season. And sometimes when it doesn't happen, it might take you a while to get over the fact that it's not happened. But I think he's done all right. I don't think he's... again, I think you might look and want more. But personally, I think... Yeah, I don't think he could give me so much more. I just don't think he is.
Mm.
I don't think he does. I think he's like a good championship player. You know, could play in the Premier League, no doubt. He's proved it. But I don't think there's anything wrong with him. Like, what I see is kind of what you get. Some indifferent performances, not probably as influential away from home as he is at home. At home, he can win a game for you, but doesn't win games often enough for you. You know, some players are like that.
Morgan Long asks, bit out of left field, but what do you think of the effectiveness of sending the academy boys on loan to Welsh Prem? George Radcliffe is playing brilliantly in goal for Barry, and I have no idea why we've paid Newport for a third keeper when he's at the club.
Good
question, I think.
Welsh Premier League, honestly, I would, if I'm at Cardiff City, I'm looking to get, from the Championship, I'm looking to get players into League Two, no lower than the Conference, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you why, because what you can do is you can pick up good habits as a young pro, but you can also pick up bad habits, right? And I can get shot down if people want to, but this is my opinion. I don't think the Welsh Premier League is at a higher standard as League Two or the Conference, right? So if you send a player, a young player below that, and then bring him back expecting him to play Championship, it's, well, mate, oh, good luck with that. That's all I can say. Good luck with that, right? So it's like training to run a London Marathon and only training and doing 100 meter sprints. Good luck. Right? Good luck. It's not going to happen. Right? You're going to blow up after a couple of miles. So for me, there needs to be some sort of process. And I'm kind of disappointed. I have been for a long time that not enough academy players, because there's not a Cardiffian in the team. I don't think in the squad these days.
Cox was on the bench,
I think. Yeah, he was, yeah, he was.
But yeah.
No, but then the knock-on effect is if you look at the Welsh squad, it's, I would say, 60-70% Swansea boys.
Yeah.
You revert like
10 years ago, it was totally different. So, you know, the academy at Cardiff, I know they dislike me, but I don't care. I really don't, because your job is to produce players. And if you're not producing players, don't have a snipe at me. Have a look at yourself and ask yourselves, why aren't we producing players? You can't keep saying, oh, well, Neil buys players. Well, he probably buys players because he feels he hasn't got a good enough standard in the academy to play in the first team. And this is a problem long before Neil came here. Mm. Right? Like I keep saying to people, the last time we had an academy boy who was what I call hot was Ramsey. That's a decade ago. You know? Rambo will be coming to his retirement in 3 or 4 seasons. We have to do better. You know, I don't expect 4 players a season, but every 3 seasons, for the money that's gone in by the owner, if that academy isn't producing every 3 years 2 players that go into the first team, or they get in the first team and then I sell them to a League One club for 250 grand or whatever, I'm pulling it over the coals. I'm telling you now, what's going on, fellas? Mm. Because it's been way too long for us not to have seen the talent that Cardiff has and, you know, surrounding areas and what have you. So it needs to be better.
Gareth Boy asks,
Gareth Boy,
is Blakey up for doing a live podcast with an audience? Sure, some fans would love to attend.
Absolutely, Gareth, yeah. You just chuck the pub in or whatever, the venue, and I'll speak to G here, the lead, and I'll speak to Paul,
the man who holds the purse strings, Paul,
with the sympathy plaster on his head, and we will come, no doubt. I think it's something we should have done a long time ago.
Yeah, if there's a call for it, I think that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I just think, and it's nice to get amongst the fans and have opinions that differ. You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, like I always say, gee, it's just an opinion,
mm-hmm.
right? You can share it, you can dislike it, you can love it, you can loathe it. I respect yours and every other fan that goes to Cardiff City, whether he goes every game home and away, or whether he chooses to go once every 3 months or once a year. He's got an opinion. You can't tell people who pay their money and go in through the turnstile, that's a bit old, yeah, turnstile, that, you know, oh, your opinion's wrong, or you can't have an opinion. That's what this game's about.
Well, so, if you are interested in a live podcast,
absolutely, we'll do a special.
Get in touch with me on Twitter at GlennWilliams12 or Paul Bandonato or Cardiff City Live. We can gauge what the fans want.
Or you can get me on Facebook. You can't really, because I don't do social media.
A couple more, Blakey. Libby Too Good says, does Blakey think Smithy should continue as first choice goalkeeper, or does Etheridge deserve to step back into the number one?
You know, I was hoping no one would ask that question today, because Paul did. Touched on it earlier as well.
No, I spoke last week
I said you got to stick with Smithies.
Yeah,
and
he picked him apart for that goal.
Well, he made a mistake, but mistakes happen. But the point is, I think Cardiff are better for it, because when you show faith in someone and say, well, you know, it's not a case where you're on eggshells, where if you make a mistake, off, next man in. You know, Etheridge has to be patient. And you remember the situation with Burnley when they had Pope and Heaton?
Mm.
Yeah? And I think they had the ex-England keeper as well, Hart, at one time.
Mm.
All at the same time. And what they ended up doing, they ended up having to shift Heaton to bring through Pope. But Heaton was the main man. Heaton's at Villa now, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. But they've had to, in the end, they've had to make a decision, and they've gone with probably he wasn't the second choice, but Heaton had the shirt before him. So right now, Smoothies, I thought, had a really good game last night. I thought he had a really good game.
Yeah, he did. I made 2 really good saves.
I thought his distribution as well, very good. You know, made a mistake against Hull. Some people might not see it as a mistake. He might not see it as a mistake.
Mm.
You know, I might totally disagree, but that's how I viewed it. But no, he would be my number one for now.
And Ash Price says, does Blakey think Tomlin should be starting ahead of Rawls, and what would his midfield be with a fully fit squad?
Pack, Bakuna, and Tomlin. Home and away.
Home and away.
Home and away. I'd say the Tomlin away. I'd take the Glatzel, just occupy the two centre halves. And I'd take the Tomlin defensively. This is the shape where I want you. When we win the ball, you can go left, you can go right, you can go central, you can go high, you can come low, you can go where you want, basically. But from a defensive standpoint, I'm not expecting you to chase back to the 8-yard box. But if it's needed, you have to do it, right? If we're out of position and it's only, you have to do it. But I'm not expecting you to work box to box. But that means when we're in possession of the ball, you have to be Johnny Dangerous. You have to cut people apart. Which, in fairness to him, he's doing at the moment.
Yeah. And finally, then, let's move on to predictions. So, Paul Abbandonato, I will come to you first for the trip to West Brom. What do you predict?
A riot. He predicts a riot.
2-1 West Brom.
Nathan Blake?
I'm going to go 1-1. Right? Because I think we're confident enough, and I think they'll have some chances, but I'm going to go 1-1 because I think we've just got enough confidence to be able to go there and cope with them. Yeah.
Through gritted teeth, I will have to agree with Paul Abbandonato. I thought it's going to be 2-1.
Your opinion's rubbish. Don't know what you're talking about.
I hope I'm wrong, but yeah. I think 2-1 West Brom, unfortunately.
Okay.
Hope that's not the case, though.
Okay.
But let's hope there is a massive statement of intent.
Mm-hmm.
And that they sneak a 1-0 win, grab a wonderfully disciplined 1-0 win, and that would just really set things up beautifully as we go into the international break.
Yeah.
Let's hope that is the case. Thanks all once again for your questions.
Great questions.
Thank you for listening, and make sure you keep up to date with all the Cardiff City news at Wales Online.
Buongiorno.